welcome back to another episode of Faith on the Go podcast. Again, it's been some time between our last episode. This last episode is from Sunday, September 22nd, the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. A little background of today's readings. Today we hear James warn against selfish ambition, while the disciples quarrel over which one of them is the greatest. Jesus tells them the way to be great is to serve. Then to make it concrete, he puts in front of them a flesh and blood child. We are called to welcome the children of God who puts in front of us, to make room for them in daily interaction, and to give them a place of honor in the assembly. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Our first reading for today is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 11. Today's reading tells of the suffering of the prophet Jeremiah, who announced God's word to Judah, but was met with intense opposition and persecution. Jeremiah continues to trust in God in the midst of all of his suffering. We read, "It was the Lord who made known it to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their evil deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. And I did not know it was against me that they devised schemes, saying, 'Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will no longer be remembered.' But you, O Lord of hosts, who judge righteously, who try the heart and the mind, let me see your retribution upon them. For to you I have committed my cause." This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from the book of James, chapter 3. The wisdom of God unites our hearts and minds. Oh, I see. Let me try that again.
It's a typo.
The wisdom God gives unites our hearts and minds. Instead of living to satisfy our own wants and desires, we manifest this wisdom in peace, gentleness, mercy, and impartiality towards others. The reading. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And I invite you to join with me now in a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to gather once again today. By the power of your Spirit that helps us to hear the message of life that you share, that gathers us together to be your church, that empowers us, gather us now, open us to what you have to say, to what you are doing. Connect us together, even as our lives often become disconnected. We thank you for that power as we remember the witness of Dick and Ellen and of their life, of their marriage, of the gifts that they shared with the world, and the opportunity to have been part of the church together, to be joined in that great communion together. Join us this day. Join us now with your powerful word, which brings life even out of death. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Let the church say, amen. So I want to reflect on Jesus' words in that gospel reading where he said, "Whoever welcomes one such child, whoever welcomes one such child." And as I noted earlier, today we're incorporating something into our worship that has become sadly disconnected often from what happens here every week on Sunday morning as the community gathers to worship, our regular gathering around word and sacrament to worship God. Often the timings of funerals and memorial services isn't conducive to being able to do this, but with the rise of cremation and the flexibility that it allows, many families are opting to remember deceased loved ones as part of our Sunday morning gathering, like we're doing today. At least this is something we've been doing here at Faith. But I'm grateful for the connection that it makes between the communion of saints and the community that is gathered here around Word and Sacrament, community that Dick and Ellen were part of. We're remembering Dick and Ellen Haynes today, but also the connections that we all share by the working of God's great love throughout space and time. Dick and Ellen joined this congregation in 2015, and their distinctive personalities have added to this ministry. While some time has passed since Dick's death, and Ellen died more recently, both of them were unable to attend many services here due to mobility issues and their health. And yet they remain joined to this great circle of love that God has established. And it's an honor to remember with you the distinctive way that they both shared this. Today's readings offer an opportunity, I think, to reflect on this love in the midst of those struggles of life that might otherwise define us, and also to realize the gift of practicing this love, to receive this love and to practice this love every day amid all of our shortcomings together. Some of you knew the Haynes's, and particularly Ellen, through her public service on the Cedarburg Common Council. And when they joined the congregation, I was delighted to learn of some particularly close relationships that they had with people in the congregation here, longtime members here, who shared their values of public service and also would help them to navigate those inevitable challenges of aging. It was really amazing to see how folks would be available, and how Dick and Ellen felt comfortable being able to call and receive some of that help that they needed along the way. For those of you who didn't know Dick and Ellen, Dick's public persona tended toward, I guess, what I would perceive as kind of a quiet, reflective appreciation are the words that come to mind as I think about Dick. He was always talking about things that he was grateful for, and he was a good listener. He would pay attention and listen to what you were saying and be really tuned in with that. While Ellen, the words that I have for her, she relished vigorous engagement. She loved to get into an animated conversation and talk about things. I remember the first time I met her, she wanted to talk about her family connection to one of the Swiss reformers, Ulrich Zwingli, and did I know about him? And so really engaging around that right away, and that was right out of the gate, you know, and we just kind of did that all the time. Both Dick and Ellen had brilliant minds that were fed by constant reading and discussion and creative work. And we have some of that work here, a shawl that Ellen made working with her hands, and you can see that in the family members who made the box for their remains, Stephen's trumpet playing today, and so many other gifts that are represented here with this family, and they're sharing with us today. Visits to their home always included some sort of a gift, from ideas and questions to books, articles, music, knickknacks, and even a bottle of wine. I especially appreciated their kindness to our daughter, Olivia, who accompanied me on several visits and forged a special bond with Ellen. Sometimes, however, this brilliance, as it can do, included sparks. There would be sparks and friction that could show up as well. I remember one visit overhearing harsh words just as I approached their door and noticing the tensions between Dick's accommodating nature and Ellen's fierce nature. Sometimes that got some friction and some sparks going. And yet their love was unmistakable. Love is something that, despite all of our idealizing and our romanticizing, always unfolds amid the difficult and the complicated aspects of our human nature. We are not all the same. We have different gifts, different ideas, different perspectives, ways of working with things, different styles, and yet we need one another. We need one another. The story of God's love for the world is not one of coercion or domination or willfulness, but rather of entering into our difficult, complicated story to reveal a new way, a life-giving way. Jesus offered us a distinctive approach to knowing God, not by some novel theology or militant doctrine, but rather, amazingly, through your relationship and my relationship with the most vulnerable among us. He turned attention there, to the most vulnerable among us. In the gospel reading today, he took a little child and put it among them and turned the disciples' attention there as they were arguing about who was the greatest. He gives us an opportunity to daily recognize the needs of others amid the many competing priorities that would vie for your attention every day, saying, hey, look at me, do this, follow this path, go this way. He turns your attention to the needs of others, especially those who are most vulnerable among us. There is no shortage of contradictory ideas at work over what's best for our world, what's best for our communities, what we need to do, what's best for our church, producing endless conflicts and disputes. And yet, a profound way forward is revealed wherever people can recognize God in the face of those who are so often forgotten or left behind. Here, the gift of love reveals its power even in the face of its most resilient adversaries, suffering and dying, to reveal something that endures even beyond the grave and beyond every attempt to stamp it out. On one of my last visits with Ellen, I shared Jesus' description of his own death by the example of a seed that falls into the earth and dies to become what it was always intended to be. Unless it dies, he said, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. This promise is not just for the hour of your death, for the moment when this physical body ceases its labor, but it is for the sharing of Jesus' death in your life, in your living, each day, and the promise that it brings with each day. Ellen's brilliant mind was somewhat clouded by some dementia in her last years, but there was something about this passage that she recognized, and it shone in her eyes. I saw there reflected a long journey of love, a long journey of love with its many twists and turns, ups and downs, and so many faces and stories. This is the promise made sure by Jesus' sharing of your journey, of my journey, of Dick's and Ellen's journeys, joining all of creation together in a great communion of God's eternal love. Amen.